We're going to talk about the prison test today, and this is a time when things don't go the way you think they should. It's when life seems to be so unfair that you can hardly tolerate it. God has a purpose in that, my friends. We keep thinking life ought to be fair. Life is never going to be fair on this sin-cursed earth. Get used to it. There are going to be times you're going to be called to suffer and to go through some things that are totally unjust. It's part of the test to get godly character. So we're going to stand together as we honor God and read Genesis 39, starting in verse 16. We're going to skip ahead a little bit in the story. She, this is Potiphar's wife, kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story. That Hebrew slave you brought into us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. But when his master heard the story, his wife had told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me," he burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them, and they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why do you look so sad today?" "We both had dreams," they answered, "but there's no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, "In my dream, I saw a vine in front of me. And the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand." "This is what it means," Joseph said to him. "The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift your head up and restore you to your position, and you'll put Pharaoh's cup in his hand just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcefully carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I've done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon." When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph, "I too had a dream. On my head were 3 baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head." "This is what it means," Joseph said. "The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and impale your body on a pole, and the birds will eat away your flesh." Now the 3rd day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all of his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position, so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he impaled the chief baker, just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Father, as we go into your word, help us to realize there are times we're going to be forgotten too. but it's all part of your plan. And your primary purpose for each and every one of us in this room is to become Christ-like. And you use all the things of life, the good things and what we consider to be the bad things, to mold us to that image. Help us to seek that more than anything else in life. And Father, we'll give you the praise today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So we're in a series right now going from your dream that God has given you. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you've trusted Him as your Savior, God has put a dream into your heart. And what He wants to do is take you through a series of tests to test your character, to help you become more like Christ, so He can bring that dream to reality in your life. We've talked about three tests that Joseph went through. We talked about his prison test today, but we've talked about other tests that he had to go through. And today, again, we're going to be talking the prison test. In Genesis 39, verse 19, it says, "When his master heard the story, his wife had told him, saying, 'This is how your slave treated me,' he burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, God was with him." It doesn't matter if you're home in perfect health or you're in the hospital in terrible health. If you're a believer in Christ, God is with you. And once you understand that, Joseph did the right thing in the purity test. We talked about Potiphar's wife. Joseph, day after day, she kept trying to get Joseph to come to bed with her, and Joseph had refused. He went in one day, and there were no other servants in the house, and Potiphar's wife grabbed him by the cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." And he ran and left the cloak with her. A false accusation winds up Joseph, who did the right thing, in prison. Have you ever had a test like that? You did the right thing, but you paid a price. When I was about 10 and a half, I was part of the paper route crew. My whole family, all the boys in my family, there were seven of us boys, we all had paper routes. And the one thing you dared not do was miss the customer's paper. So I'm helping my older brother. He's 4 years older than I am, and I'm helping him on his route. And we get home, and my dad's standing at the door, and we get home, and he says, 790 Mason, who missed the paper? And of course, my brother's 4 years older than I am, so he's a little bit brighter and quicker. He says, "Dad, I can't be sure, but that sure sounds like Jerry's side of the route." Boo! I get slapped in the mouth, because that was the unpardonable sin. You didn't miss customers, you'd lose a customer. So I take the paper, weeping, going to find this 709 Mason, and lo and behold, it's my brother's side of the route. I got slapped. I went back home, and man, I'm going to tell my dad, Jim's really going to get it. He's the one that set me up on this. And I get home, and I tell my dad, "Dad, that was Jim's side of the paper." And my dad started to laugh, and he said, "It really doesn't matter." Well, I got to tell you, Dad, it matters to me. This doesn't seem right. If this is justice, it's not right. We all want justice, don't we? But I'm glad I don't get what I deserve. What do I deserve? I'm a sinner, and the wages of sin is what? It's eternal death. Somebody paid the price for me. It's not fair that Jesus Christ left the glory of heaven and came to this earth to die for my sin, but He did. And so we have to get over this idea that everything ought to go right, nothing ought to ever go wrong, because God uses the wrongs of life to mold us. In Romans chapter 5, verse 3, He says, "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings." How many glory in your sufferings? Is that something we might have to learn? The Apostle Paul said he gloried in suffering. "Not only so, but we also glory in sufferings, because we know." Now, when I read this next part, do you know this? "We know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who is given to us. Now, I'm going to read that about three more times before we're done with this message, because this is the key. We don't know that suffering brings perseverance. Perseverance is the ability to keep going even when things seem to be against you, especially when things that are unfair seem to be against you. The word glory in that verse, we glory in sufferings, actually means we wish for or we desire to suffer with Christ and for Christ. Why would anybody sane do such a goofy thing? Because if we suffer with Christ, the Bible says we're also going to be glorified with Christ. Bring on the suffering, if that's the price that has to be paid. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, being like him in his death. Folks, Christ paid the price for all of our sins on the cross. But if you're going to serve him faithfully, if you're going to tell others about Christ, you're going to suffer too. That's why you're here. Not just to suffer, but to pass on the good news. But it's not going to go. We think, when I first got saved, I thought, man, I'm going to tell all my family, they're going to love me because I'm bringing them good news. It didn't work that way, folks. We had some real family troubles because I was telling them. I had two older brothers that were deacons in a Baptist church. And I told them, unless you're born again, unless you really choose Christ as your Savior, it doesn't matter if you're a deacon or who you are. It doesn't matter if you go to church or you don't. If you don't receive Christ, you don't have eternal life. They didn't like it. I got to tell you, it didn't go the way I thought it was going to go. And we're going to talk more about that. In Acts chapter 5, verse 40, his speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged, then ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for his name. Folks, do you rejoice when you suffer for Christ's name? It's a wonderful sign that you really are walking in godliness when you're suffering for doing right. Suffering can produce perseverance. We read that in the verse. Suffering also produces godly character, and suffering gives us a hope in our lives that'll take us not just through this life with joy, but it'll take us right into the next life knowing that we're going to have perfect bodies forever. And so first of all, suffering produces perseverance. Joseph did the right thing, but he's going to suffer for it. We don't understand sometimes why the Lord allows that. Why would the Lord allow Joseph to go to prison? He's in there probably 4 or 5 years at least, the best I can reckon it, for doing the right thing. You know, in Isaiah 55, verse 8, it gives us a little bit of insight. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, a few years ago, when Joshua was little, when Joshua was about 6 years old, we got together, Joshua and I and Joel and Tina, and we decided we were going to plant a garden. And we worked the ground up, and we got the little seeds, and we put it in the ground. Everything is wonderful until something that we had explained was going to happen, happened. Before those little seeds came out, weeds came out everywhere. There were weeds all across our garden. But we couldn't take them out, because if you take them out, you're going to destroy the seeds. You have to wait until after the plants come through the ground before you can weed them. Folks, we understand physically how that happens. I had explained that to Joshua. And of course, Joel and Tina already knew. But as children, we had to explain. Now, we plant the seed, we work up the ground, we do the best we can to clean everything, But before those little seeds ever come out, the weeds are going to come out. Doesn't seem right, does it? We don't want the weeds. But the weeds are going to come. And if you try to rush ahead of God's time, and you try to take out the weeds before the plants come out, you're going to destroy everything. And so you have to wait. It doesn't seem right that God would have the weeds come first. I deliberately planted the seed, but I get weeds. And often in our lives, exactly the same thing. You do the right thing, and you think everything's going to go just great. But the same truth that is true in the physical world is true in the spiritual world. You do your part, but everybody else is not excited about where you're at to get to your dream. They've all got their own dreams, some of them not from God. If you stop and think, how many people in this nation, what percentage are truly born again people? I'll let you think about it. I don't have a firm answer, but I can tell you this. I believe with all my heart it's less than a third. Less than a third. What does that mean about the other two-thirds? Where do they get their directions from? Not from God. That's why we have all the trouble. And sometimes we even have trouble with Christians that are born again. But a lot of the trouble, a lot of the bitterness and the anger and all the stuff that goes on is because we've got two different masters in this world. We've got God of heaven that loves us with all of his heart and even sent his son to die for us. And we got Satan that hates us with all of his heart and wants us dead. And it causes all kinds of trouble. When the garden comes up and the seeds are through the ground, then you can go to work. God has a time in your life when he's going to get you through the testing. Your character is going to be secure in Christ, and now he can trust you with that dream. And now you'll do the job God wants you to do. But you have to be patient. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petition with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what? From what he suffered. Why would he have to suffer? Folks, this is so important. If our Lord learned obedience to his Father's perfect will, because he was God, but he was also man, he's the totally unique one, unlike any of us. He had to learn obedience by what he suffered. Jesus went about doing good, but he suffered for it all the time. People hated the good that he was doing. And we think, if I do good, everybody should love me. And that's not the way life works, folks. All those weeds that come up, all the disagreements, all the fights, if you're trusting God, he's going to work it to persevere so that you can just keep going. Just keep doing what he called the little seed to do. He called the little seed to grow. He's calling you to grow towards Christ's likeness. When the weeds and the troubles and all the rest, just keep growing. God will take care of the weeds. And that's what we're going to see in Joseph's life today. God's going to take care of the weeds. You just keep trusting your Lord. Perseverance, we're told, produces godly character. Whether you know it or not, God's number one goal for every Christian in this room is to become more and more like Jesus Christ. That's his goal. That may not be your goal at all. That may be goal number 522, because my goal is getting rich, my goal is having power, my goal is whatever it is. God's goal is that through the trouble, you persevere through the trouble, he'll change your character. You'll start to think and act and talk like Jesus Christ. Very important to understand. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest on you. if you suffer. It should not be as a murderer or thief or any kind of a criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear his name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it's hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then those who suffer according to God's will, is it ever God's will for you to suffer? Man, that's a hard thing to tolerate. God's supposed to love me. He's supposed to protect me. He wouldn't want his child to suffer. So then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. And that's exactly what we're going to see Joseph doing here. This is a terrible test. Joseph had done the right thing. His master should have been proud of him. But his master was lied to and didn't know the truth. And he wasn't asking Joseph his opinion. He's in jail. He's suffering for doing the right thing. Our God will reach down and make a difference. Our reading today shows us Joseph in prison for doing the right thing. Don't be surprised when that happens to you. Joseph has now interpreted the chief cupbearer's dream, and this girl is about to get out of jail. This is when all goes well with you. Joseph is talking to the chief cupbearer. Remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcefully carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I've done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon. But did the chief cupbearer remember him? As we read the scripture, he forgot him. He's just a prisoner. He's nothing. He's not important in my life. 2 whole years go by before Pharaoh has a dream. Let me ask you, if God's God in heaven and Joseph has done the right thing, he interpreted the dreams, he interpreted them right and faithfully, and this guy goes back, why didn't Joseph have the dream the next day, or the Pharaoh have the dream the next day? Why wait 2 more years? Why does it take so long for God's program to get into gear sometimes? It's because we plan for today. God's plan is for all eternity. God's plan is way beyond our plan. We can't even imagine the things that go through God's mind. And so God's plans are so big. And he has a plan for you. And it's going to take some time to bring it to fruition. In Isaiah 40, verse 31, this is the thing. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and they will not be faint. It doesn't seem like Joseph is quite there yet, does it? He's still in prison. He's not flying on eagle's wings. But God has a plan. And in God's time, if you just wait for him, you're going to fly with eagle's wings, and so is Joseph. We said godly character produces hope. Folks, hope is so important for the Christian life. You have to realize it's not just about this moment. It's about the span, not of just your lifetime, but of all eternity. Because you're going to be alive for all eternity. If you have Christ, you're going to be with the Lord in heaven forever. If you don't, it's not good news. But the good news is, in Proverbs 13:12, it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. How do you suppose Joseph felt? 2 whole years have gone by. He's not remembered yet. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Joseph is just about to be remembered. This is all coming to a head. And there's going to be a point in your life. If you stay faithful through the trials of life, God is going to allow you to be tried. But if you stay faithful, there's going to come a time you're going to soar like an eagle. You're going to run and you're not going to get weary. You're going to walk and you won't get faint anymore. In Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. When God gives you a dream, he's going to bring it to fruition if you pass the test. There's nobody that can stop you. Nobody else can get in the way of that. It's you and God. If you continue to persevere, that'll bring you godly character. And that godly character will bring you into your hope. In Romans chapter 8, 28, and we know that in all things, this is the good things of life and the bad things of life, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. So in Romans 8:28, there are two things that decide if what happens in your life is going to bless you or curse you. Those two things are, do you love the Lord? And is your primary goal to fulfill what God has called you to, the dream that he's put in your heart? You can love the Lord, but not persevere, and you're not going to please God, and things are going to work against you instead of for you. God gives us a promise. God wants godly character. The last point, hope produces appointment. We're going to go back to Romans 5:3 again. In fact, we're going to hit it a couple times right in a row. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Not only so, but we also glory in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Hope does not disappoint. Hope, your hope in what God has put into your heart, will never disappoint you as long as you stay faithful to that hope. It will bring you an appointment from God to fulfill his vision for your life. Because every single one of us have a dream from God. I want to see it fulfilled. I want to read that once more because this is so important. You're going to have trouble in this life. Don't think it's against you. It's for you. Not only so, but we also glory in our suffering. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who's been given to us. So, one more time. Suffering, properly responded to, produces perseverance. Perseverance is going to be tested. But as you pass those tests, it's going to bring about godly character in your life. And godly character is going to give you such a hope in the dream God has put in your heart that you're going to hang on until it's fulfilled. Folks, these are the things that God wants us to learn. In Genesis chapter 40, verse 6, when Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why do you look so sad today?" When things go wrong, and they go wrong for the saved and the unsaved, when things go wrong for the unsaved, they don't think it's fair. They get dejected. They get downhearted. And that's where these two officials of Pharaoh are. When things don't go right for the Christian, what should be our response? Do you persevere? Do you go back to the hope that God has placed before you? Jacob, the father of the children of Israel, said, "All this is against me," when Joseph went to prison. Folks, it wasn't all against him. It was all for him. Because from his group, from Joseph being down into Egypt as a slave, was going to come the Redeemer. He was going to keep the Jewish nation alive so that out of the tribe of Judah, Christ could come. It may seem to be against you, but it's not. It's for your good. Listen, nobody can stop the dream God has put in your heart except you. Churches are full of people that are bitter and angry because somebody cut them off from what God wanted them to do. Folks, nobody cut you off from what God wants you to do. You cut yourself off because you didn't respond in godly ways. You're going to have trouble. There are going to be people that are going to resist whatever you do. But don't give up. The beef cupbearer and the baker were dejected. What was Joseph doing? Joseph had been mistreated. These guys, at least the baker, deserved what he was getting. Joseph didn't deserve any of it. Joseph is serving others. He's not all centered on himself. Folks, when you get all self-centered, when you think everything's against you and nobody loves you, you're missing the point. This is a test. In the test, the teacher is silent. When God is silent and you're going through the test, it's your faith and your character that are going to take you through. He wants you to come through. In Genesis 50, verse 19, Joseph is talking to his brothers that lied about him, that said he was dead, that sold him as a slave. And Joseph is talking to his brothers now as the ruler of Egypt. And Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I'll provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph came to the point that he knew what his brothers did against him was not just them. God did that. God allowed those brothers to send him to slavery. Why? Because God had a plan. I hope you know God has a plan for his lifetime for you. God has a plan, and you can be a part of it. Potiphar's wife lied about him, and you know his older brothers had taken his coat of many colors? And now Potiphar's wife took his coat, just a little bigger size. Interesting how life repeats, isn't it? I want to encourage you, when life repeats, Joseph asked the chief cupbearer to remember him, but he forgot him. The thief on the cross asked Jesus to remember him, and Jesus remembered him. Folks, he remembers you. He knows what you're going through. The trials of life are like a refiner's fire. I don't know if you know how they refine gold, but the goldsmith puts the gold in a pot, turns the heat up and turns it up to the point where all the gold melts. As the heat continues, all the scum comes to the top. The goldsmith skims off the junk, gets rid of that, and then he turns the heat up again. You say, "Wait a minute, I've had enough testing." No, if you want pure gold, you've got to turn the heat up. God turns the heat up in your life and mine to refine us. When you get mistreated for doing right, and you will, that's a lot of heat, man. That's going to test your character. You know what my brother did to me years ago on the paper route? I could have been angry with him for months, but I wasn't. I just said, "That's stupid. That's so ignorant. That's life." And we went on. I wasn't even a Christian at the time. There are Christians and non-Christians that are so bitter today, they can't get on with God's plan for their life because they've never learned the weeds come first and then the sprout. Get used to it, folks. In your life, there's going to be all kinds of weeds, all kinds of things that seem to be against you, but God says they're not. They're for you. You need to persevere so that godly character can grow, so that God can use you greatly because he wants to. In Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Yes, the weeds are going to come, but God's going to take care of the weeds in his time. Your job and my job is to keep trusting our Lord, to wait for his perfect time, to know that he's going to greatly use you if you don't lose your hope.